Beloved, as we've been gathering as the body of Christ, as the church, through this liturgical year, through the Gospel of St. Mark, we have become very much acquainted with the reality of what is described in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, speaking prophetically about the state of affairs, if you will, of God's holy people, due to the lack of due diligence, of fidelity of the leadership, both politically and religious, to shepherd God's people rightly for their well-being. And in being faithful to that, if they are looking out for the well-being of the common good of God's people, they were also taking care of themselves. But they didn't. So Jeremiah has the distinct privilege, if you will, to speak to them a word of reprimand. And they didn't want to hear it. Eventually, it's reported that Jeremiah was eventually stoned to death because they didn't care for his message. But consequently, because of their lack of heeding that message, they went into a diaspora. The people were scattered everywhere, all over. But even with the word of indictment that we hear Jeremiah render, he also speaks about a future time of providence, how God himself will come and shepherd his people, and not only that, he will appoint others who will be like unto him and govern accordingly. When Jesus was going about with the 12 apostles that he had called himself, there was no doubt that those who were his contemporaries knew what he was communicating just by going about with 12 followers. They were well aware of the prophetic utterances. They were also very much aware of how Jesus was manifesting all of the signs that would confirm the identity of the Shepherd King, the Messiah of God. But the one question they would have in their mind is, how would he bring back the people? Because, see, initially, the people of God were scattered. They were divided. The northern kingdom, which were 10 of the tribes, and the southern kingdom was Judah. The northern kingdom was Israel. But with the diaspora that happened as a result during the time of Jeremiah's prophetic role, they went everywhere. So we see Jesus initially mandating that they go first to what? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. How then would he gather the others? Well, that would happen after he would consummate the great mission through his crucifixion on the cross and his resurrection. The pouring forth of the Spirit would then become the vehicle by which all of the nations would be gathered to the Lord, and all would be taught by God. Now, as we look at this gospel, the temptation, when we hear Jesus say to the apostles who've just come back, and they are no doubt, they have been successful. They report everything that has happened. We don't know what, they don't give us, they don't, we don't, we're not given any details as to what were those successes. But we are told that Jesus had regard for their well-being. Come on. Let's go to an out-of-the-way place. Let's rest. And they go, but not outside of the notice of the crowd, because there was a lot of excitement. People were excited to hear this gospel, not just from the lips of Jesus, but even from his followers who were authorized and empowered to do the same work. So the people outrun the oars that they're using to get the boat across to the other side. They're waiting. Do you notice Jesus' response? You think he said, man, this is an unbelievable. These people, why don't they just give me a break? He didn't say that. The gospel specifically says that his heart was moved with compassion for the crowds, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. So what we find this gospel inviting us to consider is, first of all, Jesus invites everyone. He calls everyone. Secondly, He's desiring to reconcile everyone. And thirdly, he intends to reveal the mystery of God to the entire world. The challenge then is this. No one would question that the universal call has gone forth. That's one thing. But how are we responding? Do we tend to get fixated on our differences, on rank, authority, who's in leadership? Or do we focus on what Jesus is calling us to realize? The one who everybody is seeking. God, who has indeed remained faithful and followed through on his word spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. I shall come myself. The out-of-the-way place, the desert region, was always recognized as a place of encounter, of learning. They go. And as they go, Jesus, we're told, teaches them many things. What sort of things? Probably the same sort of things he's trying to get across to us in this day and age as he has been from the beginning. We as a human people have much more in common than we have different. And what we all have in common is we all come from one source of life, one source of love, and one source of mercy. So he calls. How are we responding? How will you and I respond to the opportunity to be healers, to be teachers, reconcilers one to another, as we come to realize in each other the same Jesus who is moved with compassion? That's the paradox of it. You would think that you and I would discover more about ourselves when we are at our best, when we have all of our energy and we're running around doing this and doing that. But that's the problem. Why was it that they couldn't find the rest that Jesus was inviting them to on the other side? Because it was like a revolving door. People were coming and going. They were coming and going. You have to be established in a situation where there is nothing other than the Lord and us who all share the same need. The same need. Lord, teach us to pray. As John taught his disciples to pray. Lord, where do you stay? Come and see. Give me some of that water. Go and get your husband and then come back. If I could only touch the hem of his garment. Lord, please come. My daughter is near to death. Have the people sit down. Lord, how can we feed so many? Feed them yourselves. All of these utterances are but a little bit of how God continues to meet us where we are in order to reconcile us and to reveal himself to us through teaching. Yes, teaching many things. But recognizing how weary we can grow and how weary we become in the dynamics of the work, guess what? He does not fail to feed us. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. I share this observation in light of what St. Paul says, how we've all been brought near by the blood of Christ. People say, Father, when you went to Medjugorje, did you experience anything? What did you find out? What happened? This and that. We went up to the hill of apparition where Our Lady appeared. But then there's a mountain with the cross at the top. I made a very fundamental observation. When you go up the mountain, when you go up the hill of apparition, the rocks that you're having to navigate are very jagged. They're raw. Some of them are worn by people walking on them, but for the vast majority of the rocks that you have to go and climb up, they are very, very treacherous. But when you go up the mount where the cross is at the top, those rocks are very well worn. So smooth. You can see the path very clearly where people have come up and gone down. In fact, many more people are always traversing that mountain. And therein is where the insight came. So many people go, say, to Lourdes or Fatima or to Medjugorje, and they expect to see the sun dancing, or did you see the Blessed Mother? Did you see this? Did you see that? And that's not really what it's all about at all. Because not everybody, the vast majority of us, are not going to see an apparition of Jesus and Mary and Joseph or any other saint for that matter. Hence the reason why that path was so jagged. But every single human being will traverse the way of the cross. Everybody. And you know, when you get to the top of that mountain, you know what you find? Every type of people, young and old, and what are we doing? We are resting in the shadow of that huge cross upon which the whole world has now been brought near. All of the barriers, all of the obstacles have been done away with because of that one perfect sacrifice. God love you.